Good evening. This is Carolyn Burden, Chair Pro Tem of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee, and we are convening the meeting at 8:35 p.m. Eastern Time on September 7th, Wednesday, September 7th. And meeting is called to order, and if the Secretary Pro Tem, Michael Novick, would call the roll, I would thank you.
Okay. I'm not sure if I have these in order, but Manija Saba, not here yet. Tracy Rosenberg, I guess had an excused absence. Margie Wilkinson.
I'm here.
Here. Margie Murray is here.
Here.
Michael Novick, I'm here. Anthony Fest
here.
Is here. Kevin White.
Here.
Here. Carolyn Burden is here. Nancy Saibara-Naitomi. Not here yet. Kimri Orendoth. Not here. Wesley Bethune is here.
Here.
Is that right?
I'm here.
Bob Lederer. Not here yet. And I think Bill Crozier is present.
Yes, Bill is a member of the work group, and he's sitting in.
So yeah, I'm here.
We do have seven members, which is quorum. I think we can go ahead. Thank you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Minutes for approval. Michael sent those around earlier, the minutes from July 20th. Did everyone have a chance to look at those? It's not the first time they were sent around. So I'm wondering if there's a motion to either amend or to approve.
I move to approve.
Any objections to approving them? All right. Thank you very much. So the minutes are approved as written and submitted. The next item on the agenda, I said I would lead the agenda aloud for, I know Manager doesn't have her computer in front of her, so for maybe for her when she comes, I'll have to read it again, but for the members, for people listening, shall I read the entire agenda?
Sure.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is the next meeting date. And old business, I noted that we have two volunteers for work groups. One is Bill Crozier, and the other is Robert Johnson, who is, as I explained earlier, a longtime volunteer listener member from WBAI who offered to help. He's not on the call tonight. The first item under old business was the Database Integrity Work Group. And that group actually did not convene. We had a charge dating from the June meeting. And there's a motion that I put onto the agenda under that item, which I guess I can read when we get to it. The second item under old business was issues regarding e-balloting. We had a work group, and that group, I don't believe, met. I proposed two dates for October 3rd on a Monday or October 4th a Tuesday. The members of that work group were Burden, Fest, Lederer, Murray, and White. Item 3 was a timetable for the elections process. And item four, there were 5 minutes allotted for that, 10 minutes for the previous item. Number 4 was an updated list of vendors. That was the list that Bob Lederer sent through earlier today, and I put down work group with a question mark, whether we need a work group to keep looking for those, for vendors and update that list. I put down 5 minutes. I don't know if that's realistic. And there's a typo in there. The next number 4 should be number 5, the election of officers, which I put down 5 minutes. Under new business, two items, draft of Pacifica's specifications for e-balloting using a June 23rd memo that I had sent around and the RFP that was developed by this committee. Bill, were you chair then in 2009 when that RFP
yes.
was
sorry,
developed?
I was muted. Uh-huh. Yes, I was.
Right, uh-huh, and other information. And I put 20 minutes down for that. Excuse me. And number two, excuse my voice. excuse me, number two is a campaign to raise awareness and increase participation in elections. And I put that in. I had some things I would like to propose if we get that far. And adjournment scheduled for 11:30 Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time. Does anyone want to add anything to the agenda or change an order or remove anything?
I guess under new business, this is Michael Lovick speaking, the item one seems a little premature to me. I thought we were still discussing the question of e-balloting and maybe more generally the idea of having a contract company that handles balloting, whether we do it by e-balloting or otherwise.
Yeah, there were some. I thought about that because we had decided we'd put that on a second tier, on the back burner. But I realized going through some of the other things that we really can't answer some of our questions until we have a better idea of what we want from a company. So that's a good point, though, Michael. Maybe we can discuss that when we get there and
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Either put it in or change it.
So you're saying we could find out what it would cost, sort of, or depending what we want from companies, and that would inform whether we do it or would be one of the factors we consider, I guess. It's not
yes,
a commitment to go ahead with it.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that June 23rd memo had some information in it that was somewhat confidential, and I didn't want to post it in a public agenda, but... it raises all the right questions, and I think we have to know what we want before we can go too much ahead. Did someone just come on the call or leave? Okay.
No, this is new name. I just called back in.
Is this Wesley?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You're leaving or you're left?
No, I had accidentally disconnected, and I just came back on the line.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I heard a bleep. I didn't know which direction it was going in. Okay, any other questions?
Carolyn, I'm sorry. Who was speaking previously before Wesley came back in?
That was Michael Novick.
Oh, Michael Novick, okay. Because Bob Lederer isn't here yet, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, good. Sorry about the interruption.
Okay, anything else? Any other questions on the agenda?
Well, I was hoping we would discuss what you sent out about VoteNet. I thought that was fascinating, and you know, we need to kind of maybe build an idea of what we really want from them, since they seem to be offering so many different types of services. You know, from phone voting to paper balloting for staff and things like that.
Are you talking about the stuff that was in that memo, or what was on the?
Yeah, what you were sent, you sent me, I think, yesterday. Let me go to the page. It's the one where you discuss VoteNet and the questions they have for us so they could streamline what we really need.
Yes, yes. That was pretty much what I was getting to under new business number one.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it's in there, and if we want to address that, that's the meat of it. Okay, any other questions?
You get on?
Changes? Be happy to. Could someone mute themselves? Somebody is not muted. Hello? Could you mute your telephone, whoever that is? Thank you. I think, is there a motion to approve the agenda or change it?
Yes.
Any objections? All right, then the agenda will be approved as it stands. All right. I think the next item then is the next meeting date. We had some problems with the first Wednesday, but I'm not sure we have them anymore. Is the first Wednesday good for everyone? The next first Wednesday in October is October 5th.
Carolyn, this is Margie. I will be on vacation. Generally, the first Wednesday is fine for me, but I won't be able to be at the next meeting. I'm going to be in London. I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be sorry. It sounds lovely.
Anyway, but generally, first Mondays are fine. I just won't be at the next meeting. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. Of course, you could call in, but...
No, I can't.
All right. Any other problems with the first Monday? Or?
I think there's a fairly strong chance I'll be going to Washington, D.C. for the October 6th and 7th sort of peace encampments, the anniversary, the 10th anniversary of the Afghan War.
Is this Wesley?
If I'm going, I'm probably going by bus, in which case I guess I could try to call.
Uh-huh. So you might be en route that night, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, this is Wesley, correct?
That was Michael Novick speaking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Michael. I didn't recognize your voice. I think for people listening in, it would be helpful if we identified ourselves. Thank you. All right. If you could try to call in, that would be good. But let's keep us posted on that. Thank you.
Would it be any better? Hi, this is Margie. Would it be any better if we moved it to Tuesday? Would that be possible?
No problems. Does anybody else have a problem with? You mean the first Tuesday?
Which is the fourth?
Yeah, I'm checking the.
I'd throw that into the
mix. Finance.
Okay.
Wait a minute. The first Tuesday in October is not
the second, the 11th.
It's the second.
Michael Novick still. If I'm going to D.C., it's by bus, so the Tuesday or Wednesday is immaterial. I'll try to.
Okay.
Trying
to help you out there, Michael. I'm okay for Wednesday. This is Margie.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else having a problem with Wednesday or? No. All right. Well, let's leave it then. We'll lock that in. And Michael, can you put that in the Pacifica calendar for October? Even though you won't be here?
I'm not sure if I have permission to access the calendar to enter. How do you do that?
Oh, okay. Well, we'll get you permission as secretary then.
Okay.
Thank you if you don't have it already. But it's October 5th. Okay, Wednesday, October 5th. All right, so that's settled. Now, old business... I had noted that we had two new volunteers, one of whom is on the call, Bill Crozier. The Database Integrity Work Group, I had allotted 20 minutes for that. I hope that's enough. Michael, can you keep time for us on that?
Okay.
We don't run over, thank you. Just a note or two that I had put in. In June, we agreed that the working group would seek to propose protocols, I'm reading now, for cleaning up and securing the database, establish deadlines for doing so, address uniformity, review differing station policies on whether a particular staff position is management, propose mechanisms for incorporating volunteers based on clear record keeping as either staff or listener members, etc. And we did not actually convene as a group. And I take responsibility for that. I apologize. It's been a very difficult month. But I put together what I had originally wanted to propose to the working group, and I thought maybe we could convene tonight as a committee of the whole and discuss these items. So for the sake of people listening in, I will read these items. The motion is that the Elections Committee proposes that, in preparation for board elections in 2012, the P&B direct implementation by station managers of the following protocols for cleaning up and securing the database to be used for balloting. Number one, membership dues of $25 paid by listener member, him or herself. Two, validation of staff status monthly with records and protocols approved by the executive director implementing the bylaws. Three, validation of membership status by volunteers using transparent record keeping of all volunteers. Four, requests of contact information, A, during fund drives, B, in all general mailings, C, as addenda in all communications regarding pledges, fundraising efforts, newsletters, advertising, and in obvious locations on station and Pacifica websites. Requests for such contact information shall include verification of current email addresses, name and address changes, telephone numbers, and cell phone numbers. 6, periodic deduping, using USPS service for that purpose at least once in 2011, and the last such process to occur no later than immediately after the date of record in 2012. 7, cooperation and coordination of efforts to clean and update membership databases with the Elections Committee, as well as any person designated by the Executive Director to assist in this effort. And 8, monthly reports to the Executive Director and or the Elections Committee beginning on October 14, 2011, on progress in implementing the above protocols, as well as addressing internal issues such as staff status, member status, and financial personnel or logistical problems. Okay, so those 8 points were a proposal and a motion that I'm hoping that we can dress up and amend as we wish and pass tonight so that the PNB can accept it in D.C. on the 23rd. Any comments on that?
This is Margie. I'd like to be on the back.
Okay, we'll take a stack. Margie?
Okay. I have a couple of questions.
Margie, is your phone on?
Crazy
again. Okay. It's my understanding that the national office does not keep a membership list. Are kept at the local station. Is that
I am not sure of that. I thought that at some point they had been consolidated for fundraising purposes, and that the CFO may have actually had one.
This is Michael Novick speaking. The bylaws actually say they're supposed to maintain a list of members of the foundation at foundation headquarters.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if they do, but they're supposed to.
Okay. So I was in the station the other day, and I just had a brief conversation with the person who keeps who's our database manager, and he didn't think that the national office had a membership list. He said because whenever there are elections, they always ask the station for them. But it just seems to me that if the national office does a membership list, that is a more likely list. That is the most likely list to be out of date and with bad information, rather than the list that's kept at the stations where there's a little more frequent contact numbers and so on. The other question I had was, I worked in the phone room the last several
undrives. Is that your phone in the background, Margaret?
Somebody's got a lot of back noise.
Yeah, it's a lot of background noise. Hello?
Hi, I'm still here. Maybe it's
okay.
Gone now.
Oh, someone else is. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So my question is, what do we perceive the problems with the database to be, and how do we expect to be able to clear those up? Oh, I'm sorry. I lost track of my thought. What I was going to say about working in the phone room was that people were very reluctant to give us contact information. We did start out asking people for that and found out that it wasn't, such a popular idea. People didn't like it so much, and so we didn't do it unless people were particularly friendly and seemed, interested in chatting. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay, it's an interesting point.
Carolyn?
I'll respond to that later. Let's anybody else for the stack?
Bob Letterer. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Bob Letterer, WBAI.
Oh, hi, Bob. Good.
Yeah, no, so I'd like to be on the stack when it's time.
Okay. Someone else?
Michael, I'd like to be on the stack, too.
Okay, Michael, why don't you go ahead and then Bob?
I think somebody else is trying to speak before either of us.
That's fine. I'll be on next after that.
Who is
Kevin
that?
Kevin White.
Kevin. All right, and then Kevin. Thank you. Michael, Bob, and then Kevin.
I had a question about the validation of staff status monthly. As I recall, it says that most stations, the rule is 30 hours in the previous 3 months. And so it seems to make more sense to do it every 3 months.
Well, it would, except I also meant for staff, that might be true. But things change, and I think most places... Well, I'll respond to all this after our question, rather than get into a discussion. All right, your point is well taken. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to add on that? And I'll just wait until later to respond.
Not right now.
Okay, thank you. Bob?
Okay, well, you know, I think there's some valid points here in this motion, but I also think there's some that are not really practical, and that we really need to take time, not only as a committee to consider this. I mean, we only got this morning, but also we really need to check in with management at the station to find out how feasible some of these things are. Just to start with Michael's last point, actually, there is a motion on the books. That's the other thing we need to go back and look at what we've passed in prior years. I've been on the committee in some past years, and we addressed several, not all of these issues, but several of them, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel. And on this point of staff status, or specifically unpaid staff, we passed a motion calling for it to be, I believe it was 3 months before the election. And I'm not really sure what is gained by having this kind of ongoing status for voting purposes when there is no voting right until, under the bylaws, 3 months before the deadline for voting. If you've worked the required number of hours, then you have the right to vote. So I'm just saying that whole issue really certainly can't be decided tonight and shouldn't be discussed without, in this case, some discussion with the staff that would be affected at each station. Also, there's certain points in this that may seem like common sense, but actually are not likely to work. I think it was Margie was talking about the reluctance of certain volunteers or certain, not volunteers, but people from the public who call in to support the station to give some of their information, like maybe cell phones. Or other things. And so the idea, but then on top of that, you have the wording here of verification of current email addresses, name and address changes, phone numbers, and cell phone numbers. That's a gargantuan job to call. I mean, I think WBAI has somewhere in the vicinity of 15,000 members. To make all those phone calls is a huge task, and I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I think we did pass a motion 2 years ago or 3 years ago that there should be a actually, it's the next point, periodic deduping using a USPS service, the Postal Service, for that purpose. And then when you find dupes that are things that look like dupes that may or may not, then you could make a phone call in those cases and say, well, we're not sure you have William and a Bill, are those two different people, or is that father and son, or is that just, you know, different times that you subscribed under different names? That kind of limited phone calling would make sense, but just a sort of blanket, call everyone and check, is your number still the same? You're imposing a huge workload on the staff and volunteers.
Hi.
So anyway.
I manage it.
So I'm just wrapping up to say that I'm not raising this point about any one part of this motion in particular to be stricken tonight. I'm just saying the whole thing should be really held over for much more consultation with the people who do the work every day, both management and staff at the stations, and then come back and revisit it. That's it.
Okay, I'll address all of that later.
Hi, this is Manisha. Just Jamie.
Hello, Manisha. We're in the middle of a motion on the second, responding to some of the points. I'll respond to some of that, but I think you misunderstood what I meant. I didn't mean that every person should be phoned individually. I'm sorry if the wording implied that, but I'll address the other points you make later. I think we should go through on the stack and take points on the stack. Manisha, the item that we're looking at is number 2, and that was the validation of staff status monthly with records and protocols approved by the executive director implementing the bylaws. And Michael and Bob had points to make, and Kevin White, you're up next.
I want to just comment.
The stack, Carolyn.
I'm sorry?
Bill Crozier for the stack.
Hi, Bill. Okay, thank you.
I spoke with, this is sort of echoes something Marty said, but I spoke with Les Radke about 3 years ago, and he told me how hard it was to strong-arm the membership list out of managers. And I think the focus of this motion, to me, what I'm reading, is a verification that the addresses are correct, and so we know we have a clean membership list to be sending to the whatever election company I hope we eventually select. That's it.
Okay, that's good. Bill? Bill?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I was muted. Yeah, I just want to stress, this is one of the most important things we need to get worked out. And we did, like, Bob, I agree with what Bob said, and Kevin, that the it's not always easy to get some of this stuff, but we'd make some recommendations. And I guess in summary, I'd be glad to work with Robert Johnson. I don't know him or have his contact information, and whoever else, to maybe come up with some specifics for these recommendations. But I agree. I don't think we need necessarily get verified staff monthly. It's really hard even just to do it once. At every station, we've had problems getting good staff lists, but we learned some things from the last few elections, and I'll be glad to summarize some of that stuff. And I want to stress, I think everybody working on this should read completely every word of every report from the last, or at least the last election, from the NES and all the LESs. There's a lot of stuff there, but there's a lot of specific problems they encountered, and we need to make sure we take care of those, and whatever we push off to a contractor, election vendor, we need to understand what it is that we want them to do and what we want somebody else to do.
Can I ask a question?
Who is this, please?
This is Kevin White again. I don't think there's anyone on the stack after.
Kevin, no, go.
If we were to give our elections over to a third party, would that eliminate us from litigation in any way?
That's a very good question, and I think we do need to talk to an attorney because we'll be doing a little bit of stepping around some issues that seem to be clear in the bylaws but actually are not. So that is a good question. It's one of several.
Bob Letterer for the stack.
Yes, Bob.
Just on that, the question Kevin asked, if we're talking about a professional firm or a nonprofit that specializes in managing elections, this is something we explored in great detail in 2008 and 2009 at the behest of the National Board. And we also explored it with counsel at the time. And the answer that came back was that as long as the bylaws are followed, that the executive director is the person who appoints a specific person to be national election supervisor, then a firm or a nonprofit could come in and play a supportive role, under the direction of the national election supervisor. So what it does do, of course, you can never guarantee no litigation, but if it's a respected organization that's been sponsoring or managing elections for years and has a record of success, then the chances that they're going to do something that's showing horrible judgment or bias towards one side or the other is much reduced. And I think it will greatly reduce the chances of litigation. And plus, it'll reduce the level of upset that always seems to accompany every single election we've ever had. because of poor management or biased management by the election supervisor.
What if we farmed out the National Election Supervisor to one of these firms?
May I interrupt and ask, we're about halfway through our time, but not halfway through
okay,
the question.
Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I think we need to come back. All of these things need a lot of exploring. So if we could just go through and take the problems and then talk about the answers later, is that all right?
Fine with me.
Okay, number three next is validation of membership status by volunteers using transparent record keeping of all volunteers. I put that in because that has been an issue in the past, and by transparent I meant that the list should be available for verification by the supervisors and by people correcting the list and keeping the list clean. Okay, is there any feedback for that? Michael?
Yeah. I did speak to the volunteer coordinator at KPFK here, Jesse Wood. She says that she, you know, keeps a pretty clean record and sends it periodically to the Terry guy who does the membership. The main problem she has is getting reports from the LSB and its committees about people who are volunteering that way as opposed to on other station projects. Going back to the question of validation, I'm not sure, or the purpose of this whole set of things, it seems to me that we sort of have this year in which it would be useful to clean up the general operations so that we're not always at the last minute facing messy lists. So I don't know about constantly rechecking it, but I think it would be a good idea to do kind of one check this year when we're not having an election, so that next year when we are having an election, we're starting from a place of, you know, fairly clean lists and procedures are kind of in place to keep them that way, as opposed to trying to clean it up at the last minute. So I'm not some of these things about checking it constantly, I don't think are necessary, but I think doing, you know, one check this year would be a good idea.
Okay, thank you.
This is Margie Murray. Can I weigh in on that?
Yes, Margie, go ahead.
I agree with what Michael said just now. I also was wondering why this committee at some point could not or develop a transparent list that was used almost in every station. Because if there was one that seemed to be satisfactory in one station, you know, maybe we could ask everybody from each station to send in how their list is kept. Maybe we could actually learn some things from the other stations and be cooperative in terms of forms. Just a thought.
Well, that's okay. Just briefly, yes, we did start that. And actually, we do have one model that seems to be working fairly well, and we may end up using that all.
That was my question, if there was a universal model that everybody seems satisfied with.
Well, not yet, but one that seems to be working, and if we can get it appointed as a model, that might work.
Okay.
Anyone else on this item, on membership status of volunteers, which is morphed into membership status? Okay, number four, requests of contact information, A, during fund drives, B, in all general mailings, C, as addenda in all communications regarding pledges, fundraising efforts, newsletters, advertising, and in obvious locations on station and Pacifica websites. Now, I put that in because I think I may have sent around to you. I don't know if I sent it around again today. Could someone mute their phone and translation? I hear it. Hello?
Hello?
I hear train station noise in the background. Thank you.
How do I mute it on this number? Is it 0 pound 2?
Pound 1, is that correct, people?
Pound 1?
I forget. I don't know.
Okay,
yes.
I'll try to see if it works. Pound 1. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I sent through something VoteNet had sent through a flyer, which I sent out to everyone. I'll send it out again, on how to increase participation. And it had a long list of a lot of ways, one of which is to keep in constant contact with the membership, in the course of which you automatically do the way my credit card companies do. Have you moved yet? And if so, what's your new address? And just constantly asking for feedback. So it doesn't have to be on the phone, which is probably the least likely place to get information. But in mail addresses and emails and flyers and newsletters and so on. So that's why I put this in a request for all of this multiple asking was the point of number four. Okay, anybody with any questions or comments about that? I'll send out that VoteNet thing again.
This is Bill again.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with this in theory, but this is where I'm very uncomfortable with the governance side of Pacifica passing these motions about our idea of what would work well, and then the people who have to implement it. It might, maybe sometimes in a general mailing or, all communications rave pledges, fundraising efforts, it might be overload. It might be too much cluttering a letter or an email to say, and tell us your latest, you've changed your address. So I think we have to tread more gingerly and just say something like we encourage management to request contact information in every feasible format and leave it more up to their discretion to figure out what works in their context in each situation. So that's all I would say about that. And also I stand corrected on the next point, just to jump ahead a little, that you said that I had misconstrued number five about requests for information shall include verification of contact info. I now see this is part of the problem of getting something the morning of the meeting. I've just been on the fly from work today, and now you're right. As I reread it, I see it's not calling for phone calls to be made, but I still think, again, that kind of detail, things like including cell phone numbers, let's leave that up to the managers to decide what they think is appropriate. Not micromanage. That's this.
Well, in a brief response to that, after spending hours on the phone with donors trying to figure out why their credit cards didn't work and tracking down people who move frequently and change cell phone numbers like toothpaste, it's just amazing how important those things are. So I have to respectfully disagree. Those things are really important to have because you need them in order to verify any other data. So that's sort of standard operating procedure, but I understand your point that you feel it may be intrusive and a little bit of extra work. Okay, so we're down to number five. Any other comments on number five? Request for such contact. Yeah, let me read it just for listeners. Request for such contact information shall include verification of current email addresses, name and address changes, telephone numbers, and cell phone numbers. Bill?
I guess I basically agree with Bob here. It's really difficult to do this, and rather than telling the management how to do it, we should tell them we need to keep the address list correct, and we can make some suggestions. But this committee a year or two ago did make some suggestions. They weren't all implemented by some of the stations. For example, do an NCOA scan at least once a year, which is the national change of address that the Postal Service maintains, because they keep track of those lists. Most of the bad undeliverable ballots are from bad addresses or people that it's missing from the database. Sometimes that happens because people move and they don't think to call their Pacifica station and tell them what the new address is, or it gets written down incorrectly by volunteers in the pledge room, or various things like that can happen. And we need to keep track of every mailing for anything we send to the members, whether it's a donation or a membership renewal or anything like that, or a premium that we send out. And any that come back, the corrections need to be entered into our database. There's procedural things like that that would probably be more effective at catching the errors. But we can't just ignore them and wait till the next next election, because the NCOA list, it doesn't keep the list forever, the changes of address. And if you don't do it at least once a year, you'll lose them.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Okay, on to number six, periodic deduping using USPS service. Maybe I used the wrong term there, Bill, NCOA scan. at least once in 2011.
It's maintained by the National Change of Address Database is maintained by the Post Office, PS, okay. But there's individual services, private services, that can do the deduplication and verification for you.
I see. At least once in 2011, and the last such process to occur no later than immediately after the date of record in 2012. Now, as you remember, that's 45 days before the first ballots go out, and at the moment that would bring it to June 30th or August, July 1st. But that was number six. I think we kind of agreed on that it has to be done. Maybe we can discuss the frequency later. Okay, if no one wants to discuss that, how about number seven? Seven is...
I'm sorry, Carolyn?
Yes?
Bob, took me a while to get off mute. No, I think this is okay. I think this is a good thing. Like I said, the committee passed something actually more elaborate on the subject 3 years ago. So we could pass this tonight. The one part of deduping I think we need to be careful about and point out to management or remind them is that the duping done through the NCOA, through the post office, is fine. It's very helpful. We should do it this year and not just wait to the last minute next year. But the other type of deduping is if you have, William Doe and Bill Doe on your database at the same address, you don't know for sure whether that's two different people or the same person, and only a phone call can really ascertain that. I mentioned that earlier, but I think we might suggest some language that phone calls should be made before people are just assumed to be duped. A phone call should be made to clarify that indeed that this is a duplicate rather than two actually different people. So with that kind of amendment, I would say this, I would feel comfortable passing this number six tonight.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Number seven, anyone?
I don't have anything about, this is Michael Novick. I don't have anything about number seven per se. I want to, in a sense, back up to number four, or maybe it's a philosophical comment. I think the main way we're going to get listeners to vote is if the stations all sort of pay attention to the listeners on a regular basis. I know we're finally getting our town halls going here at KPFK. I think that's a big step forward. But I think in general, a question that I've raised several times is how interactive the websites are. Most media now incorporate a lot of social media into the website and allow people using it to post comments and to interact with each other. And I think, if we incorporated some of those types of mechanisms that would engage the listeners more in what the stations are doing and allow them to influence on a day-to-day basis, it would increase the likelihood that listeners would be interested in voting. One of the things that was in the thing that you sent around from VoteNet, for example, was a page for governance on the website, and I think that would be a good thing so that people have a sense. I know in a lot of at KPFK there is definitely sort of people who oppose the whole idea of elections, and I think that we have to kind of overcome that through having them be obviously clean and transparent and trusted, but also giving the listeners a sense that they're participating in something that's fairly unique in the media spectrum. That's all. I'm sorry, did people hear me, or is anybody else responding, or I'm not sure what's happening.
Where is everybody?
I don't know.
Hi, Hi, this is Margie. I'm listening. I'm not sure where everybody else went. I hope everybody's okay.
Bill, I'm here. Carol, are you muted?
This is Manisha. I'm still listening.
Okay. So that's all. I wanted to engage the listeners in the whole process of governance at the station and programming and so on, and that will, you know, make it a lot more likely that we'll have listeners sharing their information and using their information to communicate. One of the proposals I made to the LSB was that we offer subscribers an opportunity to hear uncut programming during the fund drives online. That would be managed by a password. So, they wouldn't have to listen to the pitching because they could hear the programming since they already contributed. I think things like that would, you know, engage the listeners and give them a sense of ownership and therefore much more likely to participate in the elections.
Yeah. Good point. We have a lot of work to do in that regard. All right. Back down to number 7, cooperation and coordination of efforts to clean and update membership databases with the Elections Committee, as well as any person designated by the Executive Director to assist in this effort. I put that in because it is not impossible that an ED or even the PMB could hire a person to work just on the databases, which would be wonderful.
That'd
be
great.
And help with this sort of thing. Yeah, so I just put that in there in case it came to that. But I also think that if the Elections Committee were sort of monitoring that and we were getting regular reports, I think that might help. So that was the gist of number 7, cooperation and coordination of efforts. Could someone please mute your phone? I hear loud talking in the background. Okay, any comments on 7?
Michael, I think that's good. Like I said, I think we need to, you know, clean up the list this year and get it in a condition that it can be maintained, as opposed to, you know, at the last minute trying to do all that. So I think that, you know, makes some sense that this year we should get that underway. I will reiterate the bylaws say that the foundation is supposed to maintain an accurate, up-to-date list of the members, which is to say that our two constituencies of listeners and staff, that's who members are. At the offices in Berkeley, so.
Good. Okay, well, the last point then was monthly reports to the ED and or the Elections Committee beginning October 14th, 2011, on progress in implementing the above protocols, as well as addressing internal issues such as staff status, member status, financial, personnel, and logistical problems. And we can talk about the dates, but the principle I had in mind was that we would be getting updates on this and not leave it until the last minute, you know, when NES came in and said this list is unworkable, I can't use it for the election. So I thought monthly reports seemed reasonable. Any comments on that or agreement, disagreement?
Michael Lovick again. Monthly seems excessive to me based on what people were saying earlier about giving people workloads. I think semi-annual or quarterly or something. You know, I mean, on the budget, I know the manager and the station is supposed to do like quarterly updates on how we're doing on the budget, and quarterly seems like pretty fast even on this too. I think it's monthly to ask for.
Margie Murray, I'd like to agree with Michael on that point. I think a quarterly reporting would be adequate.
Okay, Manisha?
Somebody talked about the quarterly. I was thinking that if you want to have a deadline that is not the last minute, maybe January 31st would be for all of this, for this time to be completed, so in March when they have to bring new people, everything is settled already. The list is ready, the cleanup list, and all the procedures are set, so the new person can have guidelines and all the information that they need accurately to proceed.
All right, that's a thought. I do know that at WBI we had such terrible problems last year that there was so much attention focused on it that we were getting reports almost more than monthly. And I think that the pressure seemed to have good results, because I think now that, if I understand the general manager correctly, our list is up to date, and the staff list is accurate, and except for a few names, they were able to track down people and get all the contact information that a supervisor would need. So I have some questions. Maybe monthly, every month would be excessive, but maybe beginning at a certain point we should have periodic reports.
Yeah.
Okay, so now going back to this.
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Yeah, I'm a little unclear about the wording of this item, because it talks about monthly reports to the executive director and or the elections committee. I don't really think it's in our purview to tell managers at a station how often they should report to their boss on any subject. I think it's a different question to say whether we would like to ask the executive director, who is officially accountable to the PNB and its committees, you know, that we would like to hear from her on a periodic basis about what all of the managers are doing, you know, to solve these problems. So I would lean towards leaving out language about monthly reports to the ED, but focus it on monthly reports from the ED to the elections committee about the topics that are listed here. And maybe monthly, as people have said, is a bit much. Maybe we should start with one report next month and see then, you know, talk to her what her assessment is and figure out the frequency from there, like maybe quarterly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, that seems reasonable. That's point well taken. Okay. Any other comments on this? I'd like to go back to some of the issues that were raised earlier, and that is the validation of staff status monthly. I think that, number two, I think that part of the reason I felt free to put that in was that actually at WBAI, I think the management did institute a staff list, and it has been kept up. So it's not really onerous. Once it gets rolling, getting it started is the problem. And if we have a motion on the books, maybe we need to look at that so that this isn't redundant. But I think reinforcing that, since it had not been enforced in many stations, would not be out of line. I think the ongoing status of people is really important, because for one thing, it changes. People change status. And the bylaws say the 3 months preceding the election. So that's an issue that really has to be discussed. And I think that this sort of request for information might encourage managers to appoint someone on staff to be responsible for the list, rather than just saying, let management do it, you know, naming a name to actually have all this information kept up to date. I think that might be easier. I think that there are lots of ways to get information. Margie's point that some people don't want to give it over the phone is well taken, but actually there are lots of ways to get it, as you'll see, and I tried to outline a little bit here.
Hi, this is Margie.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add a comment on the telephone thing? A lot of people now don't have landlines.
Yeah.
And then other people have their cell phones just for family and, you know, their own personal business interests. And in terms of a group like ours or any other group like ours, they tend just to want to give out one number. I just thought I'd weigh that in. I don't think we should. I mean, I guess you would ask for what you could get.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are not going to be volunteering. I know my sons, for example, do not have landlines. They operate just with cell phone hookups.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
they're
that's
in
true.
College. So a lot of younger people don't
mm-hmm.
see the or don't have the financial ability to have two lines going.
Yes, and I noticed that on our membership forms, we have day phone and evening phone, which is really an outmoded concept.
Right.
It doesn't seem to mean anything. You either have a landline or a cell phone or both or neither.
Mm-hmm.
But that language has to be updated. You're absolutely right.
Okay. That's all.
Okay,
only
well,
comment
then,
I want.
To, Yes, I'm sorry. I was going to say, do we want to rework this and bring it back next time? I think we may be out of time, Michael, right?
Yeah, we are, actually. Sorry, didn't keep on top of that.
Someone
yeah,
else?
Yeah, we are out of time. The point I had about the two was if you're validating staff monthly, people are going to be disappearing and disappearing. Who are volunteer staffers in any particular month, but they would actually be staffers based on the 3 months. It seems confusing to me. I don't mind creating a list and then keeping the list current in some way, but monthly also seems excessive here to me. In the bylaws, there's some discussion about sort of rolling membership, that the sort of your year of membership dates from the last volunteering or the last... payment.
Donation, yeah.
So monthly updating seems problematic to me.
Oh, good point. I always thought that was a bylaws amendment waiting to be passed. That rolling membership is a problem. I think that has raised a huge issue, and experts in this sort of thing have pointed out that MEMSIS database was never meant to be a balloting database. It was meant to be a donor database, and so the rolling membership made sense, except when you go to validate someone's membership for a ballot. And we should really be keeping two separate databases, one to keep track of donors and how often we should contact them, and one for members. You know, that doesn't confuse the issue. That's a whole other issue. Well, all right. What is your pleasure on dealing with this? I can see we have a lot of questions here, and maybe we need to rework some of the language. But I was hoping we could pass something tonight so it could go to the PNB on the 23rd.
Carolyn's Bill.
Yes, Bill.
You know, I had volunteered to help, but I didn't know what you needed until I got this today. I'd still be glad to help work on a draft and just circulate around all the committee. Maybe we could come up with, I mean, I think this is a good start, and I was taking notes on what people said. Maybe we can work on improving this in the next week or so. I'd be glad to work with anybody else that wants to on the committee.
That would be very helpful. I think part of the question, many of the questions come from the fact that people have not, as you suggested, read those reports, and so they don't know the history that's behind the need for some of this information or some of these procedures. So that would be a big help if people would like to update themselves on past problems with the database and work with Bill on this. That would be very helpful, Bill. Thank you.
Does everybody have those reports?
Well, I think we have them in one or the other of the lists. I never did consolidate those two lists.
Because, you know, the last year's reports, I uploaded all to our Google group. You know, with the Elections Committee for a long time has had two lists. One was a mm-hmm. Yahoo group, which was private and included confidential information like, you know, proprietary bids from the election vendors and other things. And the other, and that was a Yahoo list, a Yahoo group. And there was a Google group that was public, and it had people that were not just Election Committee members on it, past Election Committee members, anybody could be on it. And we shared public documents there. But Google Group stopped supporting the list, the file section earlier this year. So all those have gone away. But I can put them somewhere else. I still have them. I can put them back on the old Yahoo group if you want to use it. I know you have a new Yahoo group.
We do have a new group, and I would really like to keep that because I think everybody's name is in there that ought to be. Michael, could
maybe,
you Bill work with that perhaps?
I'd be willing to work with Bill on a redraft, and if he can send me those, I could post them to the Yahoo group.
That would be really helpful. Bill, is that okay with you?
I couldn't quite understand what he was saying. What about the Yahoo group?
I said that I'd be willing to work with you on rewriting the resolution, and also then if you can send me the material, I could post it to the Yahoo group.
Okay, great. Okay, sure.
With one caveat, there has to be one file in there that is marked confidential very strongly because some of these proposals are definitely confidential. And list members should have access to them, but they should know that they can't copy them and pass them around outside the committee. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's good. Thank you, Bill and Michael. That would be very helpful, and I will join you as I can. Wonderful. Thank you.
This is Bob.
All right, so can we give ourselves a deadline for that, the next meeting, or perhaps 2 weeks from now?